Welcome to Bart Talks Beer, episode 24, Hampton Roads Part 2, recorded on July 26th of 2022. Continuing my 2 weeks in the Norfolk area of Virginia, I have another mix episode of beers I picked up in the area. Let's get started. Thanks so much for listening to us in another episode. I am happy to be recording another one. I am still on location in the Norfolk area. Finishing up here, I got a few more days. I'm going to get this episode in, and depending on how things go, I might even get another one in, but we'll see. Before we get into tonight's beers, and tonight's episode is just a random mix of stuff. This is all stuff I've picked up from the various breweries I've been to in person while in the area, so I'll talk to each of those as we get to them. But I got four different beers from four different breweries tonight, so looking forward to that and getting those shared with you. I'll talk about the dinner I had this evening, though. I went over to Portsmouth, which is basically just right across one of the waterways here in this area, and went to the Beer Garden, B-I-E-R, which is a German restaurant, and they had some fantastic food and some fantastic beers on draft. I was even able to get St. Bernardus Abbott 12 on draft, and it was fantastic. Absolutely wonderful, wonderful. I was so happy. It was just a nice finish to the Jaeger schnitzel I got, and I also got a kielbasa sausage and just all kinds of goodness that I probably ate too much, but that's okay. It was fantastic. I had another Helles there. I have to look up the name as well, but it was a Helles that I hadn't heard of. It was, I think, German, and it was on draft, and it looked good. They had a really nice bottle selection there. So, unfortunately, it was a little far from my hotel, and with the cost of Ubers and taxis and things like that, I had to be cautious about, I drove myself, and I didn't want to drink too much and or spend $50 on an Uber ride to get over there. So I hope to check them out again in the future. We'll see how that works out. So let's dig into tonight's beers. Our first beer is called Helles Yes. This is from Elation Brewing out of Northrop, Virginia, 5.1% ABV, 16-ounce can. And this one was canned on April the 29th. And here's the description I have for this one. The soft sweetness and bready nose of this beer dance delicately to a biscuity and floral first sip and sparkles its way to a dry and crisp finish. Pure magic. Helles Yes. So they basically described what a Helles should smell and taste like and made it artsy. I get it. It's simple enough. So let's set this down here and dig into this. And I think I've mentioned it before, but I am a big fan of Elation Brewing here in the Norfolk area. They always seem to have multiple lagers on. They've got a really nice pizza selection there during the week. And on weekends when they get a little busier, I think it's like Thursday through Sunday, they have a full kitchen with additional food. But every night that they're open, they still have the pizza oven going. It's really good stuff. So I picked this up on, I think, my first night in town a little over a week ago, and so I wanted to share this on the episode. So I got this first beer poured, and it is coming in as just a small smattering of cloudiness in it. Definitely not quite hazy. I can see light through there. I can see motion on the other side, but it's not crystal clear. I've got about half a finger of white, tightly packed head that is dissipating down fairly quickly as I talk. Looks like I got some good carbonation bubbles in there. And the color itself is what you would expect a Helles to look like. It's that honeysuckle yellow, lemon drop yellow, somewhere in that notion area, coming across very nicely and pretty. I've had this beer before. I actually went back and looked at my notes just to make sure I didn't throw this on an episode before, but I had not. I'd only had it on draft on some of my previous visits. Really wonderful, wonderful aromas going on in there. So I kind of don't like when they throw flavor notes into a description of a beer, but it is what it is. So I read it. You're getting what they call out here. Little biscuit, I think it's a touch more cracker than biscuit to me. There is a small little floral note going on there, a lemon peel note, maybe it's a honeysuckle or a lemon drop type of note. So a little bit of a candied sweetness. Absolutely pleasant though. Very nice in the aroma. You can also get that sense of crispness from the aroma. So went in for a nice drink of that, and I get a good bit of the cracker, the little bit of biscuit. The floral note is a little bit more prevalent and stronger than I expected. It has a nice, it carries across the palate nicely with the cracker and the grass and a little bit of a honeysuckle note carrying it with it. The honeysuckle, I think it's really the honeysuckle note that I'm going to linger on in that floral note. So not just the liquid of the honeysuckle, but a little bit of the flower as well. You're getting that little kiss of sweetness and aromatics that come with a honeysuckle flower. Just really wonderful. Easy to drink at 5.1%. You could enjoy a four pack of this on a nice warm day and just have a pleasant afternoon somewhere. And I do apologize if you're hearing some extra background noises this time that I won't be able to filter out. You do what you have to when you're recording on the road in a hotel room without some of your normal accoutrement to help filter out sound and the little small things you have to help cut back on some of the background noises. This beer definitely has good carbonation. I'm already feeling some of the burp bubbles coming up, and it's a very pleasant burp as it is. That's honestly, I don't think I have anything else to say on this. That was kind of quick. Kind of wish I had someone to banter with on this one. It's just such a nice beer, easy, clean, no off flavors, pleasant to drink. This goes really well with a nice pepperoni pizza or something with a, even a little bit of heat, like a, this would go with like a jalapeno and sausage pizza, something that has a little bit of bite. This would really help temper that and just provide a nice balance to it. This beer would go really, really well with some Indian food, something that has a nice richness to it as well. I could see that entirely. So let's move on to beer number two. So beer number two may sound a little familiar to you. This one's called Frogman Lager, and this is from Bold Mariner in the Oceanside area of Norfolk, Virginia. 5.3% ABV, 12-ounce can. The description on this is a well-balanced amber lager with a strong combo of caramel and bready malt flavors. Bold sauce hops give it floral and earthy notes. 24 IBUs, Frogman Lager is good to go anywhere, anytime. I went back and looked at what number it was. It was about three or four episodes ago when I was doing the early July mix show, and I picked up a 16-ounce single of Frogman Lager at my local craft store. During the episode, it was only at that time, after I'd already started recording and cracked it open, or about to crack it open, that I realized the beer was just old. It was probably 9 months old, something like that. That one actually had a date on it, and I'm not seeing a date on this one. Maybe I missed it. I'm still looking. No, don't see one. But I did just pick this up from the brewery like 2 days ago, so I'm sure it's fine. Anyways, and at the time I had said for the Frogman 16-ounce pounder that I picked up that I wasn't going to give a full honest review on it because it was clearly past its prime. And once I opened it and took some sniffs and a drink of it, it wasn't worth digging into. As I promised on that episode, I was able to swing into Bold Mariner and did a flight there. And actually, I did two flights, I think. Did I do two? Yeah, I did two flights of four. And I had some barbecue and just had a really nice visit there. They were quite busy, so I wasn't able to speak with any of the beer tenders too much. They were just really busy taking care of everybody else. But I'm completely happy on my own just to enjoy some beer and do what I need to do. So let's crack this bad boy open and let's see what happens. Hopefully we have a better turnout this time. I did have this on tap at the brewery and it was quite delicious. So I really wanted to grab some to go and throw it onto this next episode and let you know what comes out of it. All right, so I got this poured and it poured a light amber color, a little bit, almost like a diluted iced tea kind of color. It has a little bit of head on the top of it, not a ton. Looks like I am getting some good carbonation bubbles. It is pretty clear though. I got a little bit of chill haze on the glass, but for the most part, I am seeing straight through this beer. It is nice and crystal clear. So let's see what happens here. Going for some aromas, bready, malty, a little bit of sweetness in there. Has a small little bit of a pepper note from the, I'm guessing from the Saaz hops. Those noble hops generally provide, instead of more of a piney bitterness. It becomes more of a peppery bitterness. And I can see that as well. Takes it into those earthy notes that they call it out in the description. So think of like a rye whiskey or something like that. That is kind of the general approach here, only nowhere near as strong because, you know, we don't have the alcohol content to bump up that peppery note, the earthy note. But just kind of a general simile I was going for there. Really pleasant aroma, nice and easy. Definitely not getting some of the off flavors I was getting when I had this about a month ago. So looking forward to getting a taste here and sharing this with you. Oh yeah, that's much better. It's amazing what happens when you get beer and drink it in the age that it's supposed to be drank in. On this, we get a nice malty backbone. It is not quite as malty as, say, a Sam Adams or even Devil's Backbone Vienna Lager. But I think this is really, I think the Devil's Backbone Vienna Lager is probably the closest comparison that I would throw out to this. And most people have had that. And if you haven't, but you've probably had Sam Adams Boston Lager, this one is not as hoppy as that. It's not going to have that piney bite that a Boston Lager has, but that malt bill is really similar. So you're providing that sweetness, that very rich backbone for this lager. I'm honestly not sure why they didn't just call this a Vienna lager. It really is pretty damn close to it, but instead they went with an amber lager. All right, really pleasant, really easy to drink. This is absolutely wonderful. I still don't think this is one that I would want on a super hot day. I think this will go with a ton of food. This would be great with some Mexican. It went really well with the barbecue I had, but oh my gosh, put this instead of a Dos Equis with your Mexican. Oh, this would be fantastic. I think the sweetness in here is going to be and it's not overtly sweet. Don't get me wrong when I say that. It's not super strong and just cranking out the sweetness, but it's got a heaviness to it at only 5.3 and that little bit of malty sweetness, I think would be really build up and start getting taxing on a hot day. I'd much rather have that Helles from the first beer on a day like we've had for most of the last 2 weeks that I've been down here. So that's pretty much it for this one. I am glad I was able to throw this back on here. We're running through these pretty quickly. So I only had two planned for the second half. Maybe I'll throw a third beer on here. I don't like to have episodes that are too short. So I'll dig through the fridge. I was lucky and picked up a bunch of stuff at the various breweries that've been around here. Been having a really nice week. So let me take a look and see what we're going to do there. I'm going to take a break now, get these glasses cleaned up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.
Today's forecast, a lot of sunshine, blue skies, marine clouds. Just a perfect day to go outside and relax. That's your forecast. We'll be right back.
Yeah, sunny day, sunny day, sunny days. No clouds in the sky, but to get away. Feels like it's been a freaking decade. Sorry, don't call me because I'm going to be on break. Sunny day, sunny day, man. Stress and doubt, yeah, not today. Feels like it's been a freaking decade. Sorry, don't call me, cause I'm gonna be on break. Got the Tropicana, fresh cut sushi on a platter. Brandy, Henny, it don't matter, shots. Till I drop, gonna be 24-7, golden hour like a boss. And they say, yo, guess you got a 2 o'clock appointment for a champagne shop, whoa, yeah. I'm busy trying to take it higher. Got no time for never, only spending cheddar. Wish I could do this forever. Chilling with the hottest company. They all wanna welcome me to their private penthouse suite. Yeah, now I got the key. Rooftop pool, got a heli on speed. Ocean view from the highest peak. I'm complete, oh, I want this to stay. Please don't go away. Yeah. Sunny day, sunny day, sunny days. No clouds in the sky, about to get away. Feels like it's been a freaking decade. Sorry, don't call me, cause I'm gonna be on break. Sunny day, sunny day, make way. All the stress and doubt.
Welcome back to Bart Talks Beer. Thanks so much for continuing to listen to this episode. We're on our second edition of the Hampton Roads Mix Show. A bunch of beers I picked up while checking out different breweries all in the area. So I did the math and looked at different things. I was able to hit 12 new breweries, well, new to me anyways, breweries on this trip so far. And I don't think I'm going to have a chance to check out any other additional ones on this one. I did hit a couple of others that I'd been to before, but I was able to add 12 breweries to my list that while I may have had their beer before, I hadn't either been to their beer brewery at all or hadn't been to this particular location. Both the Vale and Wasserhund, I had been to other locations as well, but I was able to finally check out these as well as Smartmouth. I went to, been to the Virginia Beach location before. It had been a while, but I was able to do that. So, as I mentioned before the break, I am going to add a fifth beer to the second half. I was just going to do two and two, but that first half went pretty quickly. So let's move into the, we're going to add one for the second half. So we'll move into that. We're going to do another one from Bold Mariner. I was not going to originally do this one on the show. It was one I had there. I just really enjoyed it. So I picked up some to go with no intention of throwing it onto a show, but since I have it, let's do it. So this beer is called Polaris. And this is a pale ale, once again, by Bold Mariner out of the Oceanside area of Norfolk, Virginia. 4.9% ABV, 16-ounce can, no date on these. But I did just pick this up from the brewery 3 days ago. I think it was Sunday, and it's now Wednesday. And this is a American-style pale ale with Cascade and Yucanut hops. Let's crack this bad boy open and see what we got. This was one I tried in the tap room. I had it on the flight I had. Really enjoyed this. Just nice, easy, crisp, easy to drink beer for this time of year. Fit really nice and nicely for as hot and humid as it was on this Sunday. All right, so I got this poured, and it poured a beautiful, crystal clear yellow color. It has no cloudiness. I'm seeing everything through there. Got about half an inch of white head at the top of this. Maybe a touch more originally, but it's dissipated down. Unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, I am on travel and I don't have some of my better beer glasses with me. So I'm making do with these kind of like, they look like little cocktail tumblers, juice glasses type of things. But hey, at least they're glass. And I was able to clean them up real well with some of the detergent soap that they had in the room. So I'm not worried about that, but it's definitely not the kind of beer glass that I normally like to do the tastings out of. But it works. So here we go. Nice yellow color. Somewhere in the range of like a lemon peel with maybe a little honeysuckle or something like that, straw yellow. Just nice little color to it. Good carbonation bubbles coming up. Let's pop in for the aroma and see what we got. Really interesting aromas. I didn't dig into this too much when I was doing the flight tasting. Sometimes when I'm out and about, we'll find a beer that really intrigues me and I'll kind of dig into it like I would on one of these reviews. But in general, I kind of leave that to the studio for a lack of a better term, but you know what I mean? And just enjoy the beers when I'm out. Yes. I'll think about it a little bit and be like, oh, this, you know, has this note on here or this would go really good with X food or whatever. But I try not to dig in and try and nitpick at all the beers while I'm out and about in general. So let's get into this room again. Sorry. Has a light pine, a little bit of a spruce note to it. Just really, really light and subtle there. And I know I'm picking it up, if nothing else, just because I know they put Cascade in here. And, you know, you get that kind of little piney resininess there from Cascade generally. There's a nice floral note to this. And I'll be honest, I've heard of Yucanut hops before. I don't know what flavors they generally impart. If I did know at one point, I have long since forgotten that one. That's just, I know that hop exists, but it's not one that I track and keep in my repertoire of, oh, I know what Yucanut hops will provide. So that might be providing a little bit of a slight floral note here. The has a fruity sweetness to it, but it's really, it's not juicy. It's not pineapple. We're not going into melon either. It's something a little different. Honestly, I'd say something along the lines of like a star fruit. And I know that's really random, but that's really what I'm getting on this. That sweetness with a little hint of a sourness that comes out of a star fruit, I think fits this from an aroma perspective. Let me go in for a flavor and tell you what I'm finding. A little bit of a flowery note as well on the flavor. Not as much of a piney note as I was expecting based on the Cascade being in there, but I do still get a small bit of bitterness, little bit of a earthy resiny note, not overpowering at all. Not that you would expect to do it only 4.9%. There's only so many hops you can appropriately put into a beer with that kind of body. What you get the whatever the Yucanut is bringing to the flavor profile seems to be a little bit more prevalent, a little bit more upfront. So I get a small bit of a tartness, and I'm not saying this is a sour IPA or even remotely going down that line, but just a small little bit of tartness along with a sweetness and a small flowery note. And it's all delicate and it's there without anything taking charge and being a upfront and dominant flavor. There is a nice body to it. It came across the palate really well. Honestly, if it wasn't for some of the hoppiness to it, I would almost put this one like in a Kolsch kind of territory, excuse me. Something that is very crisp, nice and almost effervescent. It didn't quite have enough carbonation for that, but it's really leaning that way. And for the summer heat, this one drinks super well and would really go with a lot of different summer barbecue kind of foods. There's a lot of options with this particular beer. I think this would go really well with some barbecue, which makes sense because the Bold Mariner it's inside the restaurant and they kind of serve it there, but they're technically two different businesses, but there's a barbecue place there. And I tried some of the food. I got a brisket and some pulled pork and some ribs and some sausage, and it was all pretty good. Not the best barbecue I've ever had, but it hit the spot. It was pretty tasty. The mac and cheese was on point, though. Man, I could have eaten a lot of that mac and cheese. But this beer just went perfectly with that and would continue to do so in a full pour as opposed to the sample, 5 ounce pour I got for the flight. Yeah, really nice, easy to drink. I like this a lot. There's some goodness going on here, and I'm going to be happy to finish this can up. So let's move on to beer number 4. Once again, that was called Polaris, and that was from Bold Mariner. I'm glad I was able to throw that one on here. Beer number 4 is from Smart Mouth Brewing in Norfolk, and this is called Cyberspace Surfer. And this is a pineapple Kevik Pale Ale, 5.2% ABV, 16-ounce can, no date on here. And I picked this one up also on Sunday, so 3 days ago. It's got a nice description both on the can and what I was able to find up on the website, so I appreciate that. So first, let me read you what I found from the can. Beyond the realm of human knowledge soars the skyborne spanner of a trillion websites. Always searching, always watching, a consumer of computerized content who shall forever be known as the Cyberspace Surfer. That worked well, right? Got the radio voice going on that one? All right, so that was a little bit of, and there's pretty cool can art on here. I'll make sure I get a good picture of that when I post this video, or post this audio, excuse me. Here is the information I found from the Smart Mouth website. Introducing Cyberspace Surfer, a soft and hazy summer pale ale bursting with tropical notes of pineapple and citrus. Stock up the cooler for your summer adventures, because this crushable pale ale goes down extra smooth. Based on both of those, I'm just really looking forward to giving this a try. So let's crack into this and see what we got, because I did not try this one. I don't think I was this. Smart Mouth was the last brewery I hit on Sunday. It was brewery number 4. I did a flight, and I think I just did one flight and like a half pour of something else. I was getting a little tired and didn't want to drink a whole lot more. So I have the sheet from them. I think I left it in the car. So, and it doesn't matter. I did a flight. I can't even remember if I did try this one or not, but I went ahead and bought a 4-pack, and here we go. So got this poured. It poured a yellowish orange. It's a hazy. If you've ever had a beer that's brewed with Kevik yeast, and I apologize, I'm probably saying that wrong. It's K-V-I-E-K. So I always say Kevik. I am probably wrong, but that's what I say. One of these days I'll properly figure out how to pronounce it. But anyways, if you ever had a beer that's brewed with that, it will eat up all the sugars. It leaves, it does not fluctuate fully, so it does leave things in suspension, and it works at all kinds of temperatures. So you pretty much always get a hazy, and it imparts really strong flavors. So this one is not seeing anything through there. Had about a half a finger ahead when I first poured it, dissipated down pretty quickly. I'm not seeing a whole lot of additional carbonation coming up, but I can't really see much into the glass. I mean, it is a thick boy, considering it's only 5.2%. Usually don't see this kind of thickness in the appearance with the lighter ABV like that. So let's see what kind of aromas we got. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, that is really wonderful smelling. Tons of pineapple. Definitely some citrus. I mean, but like pina colada kind of a pineapple notes going on here with a little bit of that coconut note. Doesn't have any oil. I don't think there's coconut in here, but it's so strong in those tropical notes. That was really the first thing that came to my mind. There's probably some like melon notes going on here and maybe something else. Yeah, just really, really wonderful smelling. Well, I'm going to dig right into this and see how it tastes. The pineapple is very much upfront in the flavor, is super strong in the pineapple note, has a small bit of a back end tartness, maybe a little bit of a acridity type of note in the back end. The body is light, almost a little too aqueous for as bold as the flavors are and as strong as it looks thicker than it is. But again, it's only 5.2%. So you need to keep that in mind when you drink this. It's not going to have that super, super thick body, but it feels like it should. And because of that, it came off a little watery, a little aqueous in the presentation of the body. Every sip I take, it's really just pineapple up front. That is really what is smacking you around on this one. The other notes are there, some citrus, again, maybe a touch of melon. The coconut, that pina colada with the pineapple and coconut together is there. It's a little less prevalent as after I take a few more sips. So it might have just been a little combination of the first sip and still having a little bit of the last beer on my palate. Melon note is starting to come forward a touch more. The carbonation, I wish it had a little bit more carbonation. Not a ton. I just wish it had a hair more spritz. I think it would make a huge difference in carrying this beer from first sip all the way back to, you know, completing the drink. Even though it's an aqueous beer, it's just laying on the palate just a hair. And I think some carbonation would just really help clean that up and spritz it up. But all in all, this is just really delightful and quite enjoyable. I didn't say much about Smart Mouth. They had a really nice facility. I've been to both of them. I've been to the one over basically beachfront. It's, you know, a block and a half away from the beach in Virginia Beach, and it's called their Pilot House. It's their second location. The one I went to this past weekend where I bought these beers was their original, as far as I understand, and had been to the Pilot House a few times, kind of an industrial look. They always had a nice selection there, a couple of small batch stuff. That's why they call it their Pilot House. Just had a really nice visit every time I went there. Great people working. Finally had a chance being in the Norfolk area for that little bit of extended time that I am right now of hitting the original location. Same thing, kind of in a weird spot. While it's close to downtown, it's over close to like the shipyard type of thing and in the industrial area, like a lot of breweries are, so nothing new there. But they had a really pretty area, and on Saturday they had a big festival with music all day long and vendors and food and stuff like that for a Norfolk day. And I did not go. It was way too goddamn hot to do something that was going to be outside like that. It sounded interesting, but I'm by myself on this trip, and I didn't feel like dealing with people by myself. So that's when I hit a couple other places and did some kind of quiet time. But I was very glad to swing in there on Sunday. Great tap list, lots of stuff going on. You can find a few things from Smart Mouth in the store, especially in Virginia. But to really, those are all, like a lot of breweries, kind of their more basic. Basic's not the right word. They're there, you know, some of the mainstays that they have. And while they're well done, they're not the adventurous ones. How about that? So if you want that, you really do need to go into the brewery. So I was very happy to swing in there and try this. And I'm happy to pick up some of this Cyberspace Server. So we're going to finish up this beer. That was beer number 4, Cyberspace Server, once again. And we'll get ready for our next beer. And beer number 5 today is called Leucothea. This is an American Pale Ale from Rip Rap Brewing out of Norfolk, Virginia. 6% ABV, 16-ounce can. No canning date on here, but nice and fresh. And this is a double dry hopped pale ale with Eldorado and Mosaic. This pale ale is bursting with tropical mango and pineapple aroma. Leucothea was a Greek sea goddess, named for the white sea foam and protector of sailors in distress. And this pale ale has a creamy white head, medium body, and juicy finish. Sounds fantastic. Looking forward to digging into this one. Had a real nice visit to Rip Rap. It was a pretty low-key place, very small, kind of centered between Maker's Brewing and the Vale there in the Norfolk area. Everything I had there was pretty good. I picked up this Leucothea. I really enjoyed it. And I also picked up a crowler of another beer that I was able to enjoy. So I got this poured. Let's take a close look at this one. So this poured a somewhat muted orange color, fairly thick in terms of the body. Not seeing much through there, definitely in the hazy category. Nice white head on there, about a finger's worth. Almost like a dingy orange is probably the best description I can get for that. Nice look to it. I'm not seeing a lot of bubbles coming up in carbonation, but again, good head on there. Let's take a look at the aroma and see what we got. All right, in the aroma, I get a little bit of that same dinginess. It's got an orange note there, but it feels almost like a over-ripened orange note. It's got just a little bit of a funk in there, like it's getting close to getting into rotten in that orange note. And if you've ever had an orange sitting on your counter that's just gotten a little bit past its prime, you'll know what aroma I'm getting out of there. It's not necessarily bad. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the beer, but that's the aroma I'm pulling out of there. Has a little bit of a, not pineapple, maybe a touch of mango, just a small bit. The tropical fruits aren't as prevalent as I was expecting, but it's really just that orange note is coming in there, orange oil, those kind of notes. There's a slight bit of a floral note on there as well. So let's see where this goes when I go in for a drink. Very well done. Nice body, good carbonation, carried really well. The flavors, there's nothing wrong with the flavors at all. So it was just kind of the aromas that were just a little bit weird. It's got a little bit of a bitterness in the back end, but it still has a nice juiciness to it, a good body. The citrus is there, orange, maybe a touch of tangerine, you know, somewhere in there. It doesn't have that old orange that I was kind of getting in the aroma. Comes across real nicely, good body. The mango, maybe a little bit of a melon, probably a melon note is the right thing. In terms of that floral note I was getting in the aroma, I still get a little bit something there, like hints of baby's breath or something, maybe a honeysuckle note, something really, really light, really delicate that is there in the flavor, but definitely in the aroma as well. And it's just a little accent note. All in all, this drinks super easily, great beer. And if I wasn't trying to dissect it for talking about it here on the podcast, I could easily sit down and have a couple of these with a meal or just hanging around with some friends on the deck. This was just a nice low-key, easygoing pale ale. And at only 6%, you could have a few of them and not feel too bad. Went in for another sip, another longer drink. Across the palate, it's nice and smooth. The carbonation is there, gives it a little spritz, cleans up pretty well after itself. It's not as heavy as many hazies can be. Just well done and easy to drink. Not a whole lot more to say on this one. I know that was kind of a quick review, but it's somewhat unassuming and just easy going. This is one where I wish I had some people on here, and I've gotten some ideas on that. Hopefully that will be changing soon. All right, so let's finish up the episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening. At the end of every episode, we give a quick review of the beers we had and our recommendation on what we think about them. So once again, we give the recommendations on what I think of these beers. First up, we had Hell's Yes. This was from Elation, 5.1. Right at the border of High Try and Worth a Try. It's, I think, better than the average beer. Easy to drink. Good beer. Very happy to have this. I don't think it was crazy standout-ish, but it was a good beer. So right at that borderline of Worth a Try and High Try. Frogman Lager, great beer. I'm so happy I was able to redo this one after that first one I had that was too old a few episodes ago. So happy to be able to redo this one with something that was fresh. Came across the way you expect it to. Nice Vienna Lager. Easy to drink. Same thing. You could hand this to me any given day, and I'd be very happy. So right at that borderline of Worth a Try and High Try. Polaris, the Pale Ale by Bold Mariner. 4.9%, easy e-drinking, good beer, delicious. Really enjoyed this one. Definitely in the High Try category. CyberSafe Surfer, it was okay. It was fine. It's worth a try. Nothing wrong with it. I wasn't crazy about it. Is what it is. And Leucothea, same thing, right at that border of Worth a Try and High Try. None of these were amazing, like stellar, like you want to write and, you know, share this with everybody. But I wouldn't be turned off on any of them on any given day. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you continue to like and share our podcast with your friends. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Bart Talks Beer. Send me an email, barttalksbeer@gmail.com, and find everything you need on our website, barttalksbeer.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Cheers.
bicycle friendly. Here we invite only positivity to this party. Don't want
to. Thanks for listening to the Bart Talks Beer podcast. Bart Talks Beer is recorded in Southern Maryland in the heart of the Chesapeake Bay. The music in today's episode is used with permission by the band Shallow Deep. The intro song is Maybe Never from the 2006 album Ammunition. You can find their music on Spotify, Amazon, and all other outlets. Look for Shallow Deep Music on Facebook and Instagram to find out more information. The interlude and outro song will be cited in the show notes for your information. Please remember to check out BartTalksBeer.com, where you can find the latest episodes, information of what's going on, and where you can find this podcast on your favorite platforms. To interact with me, please reach out via Instagram and Facebook by finding at BartTalksBeer, or send me an email at BartTalksBeer@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening. Cheers.